looking at the subject from the grave to glory. If you can have a Bible and open it at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that would be helpful and a blessing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's just pause for a moment's prayer and ask God to speak to us this morning as we open his word together. Father God, we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus, and we thank you and praise you that he was prepared to die and be buried in that grave, but we thank you and praise you. 3 days later, he arose from the dead. 40 days after that, he went back to heaven and is in the glory. And we thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus, the man in the glory right now. We praise you, Father, for the hope and the courage and the blessing that gives us. And as we look at your word this morning, and as we've already read it and we'll read it again, we pray, Father, that you will just touch us and bless us. Meet us at our point of need this morning. For we pray this, believing in the name of the Lord Jesus and for his glory alone. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is that great resurrection chapter. And Paul gives us clearly the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verses 1 to 4. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Here's some good news, isn't it? That Jesus died for our sin. And we don't have to look very far or examine our lives very deeply to realize that we have sinned. We know the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But right deep down in our hearts, we see that sin as well. But Christ Jesus, the good news is that Jesus died for our sin, paying the penalty and price of our sin. And he was buried, but he rose again from the dead. The death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, was deeply significant. But if he had not risen from the dead, risen from the grave, his death would mean very little to us. Remarkable things happen when we encounter the resurrected Lord Jesus. Just think for a moment or two of what happened to those two discouraged disciples as they walked along the road to Emmaus. Everything changed when they saw and recognized Jesus. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus was, in fact, unique. But you may say, well, other people have have died and God raised them to life again. Yes, that is true. But sooner or later, they had to die again, did they not? But Jesus was raised on the third day in the power of an endless life, 1 Corinthians 15, 4. That he was buried and was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus was literal and a bodily resurrection. His body was hanging on the tree, and he voluntarily gave up his spirit. And then they took his body down from the cross, and Joseph and Nicodemus laid his body in that garden grave, and a body of flesh and bones, Luke 24:39 says. Before he died, Jesus said that he would be raised on the third day. And as we read in Matthew 12, he answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." And then after the resurrection, the Lord Jesus declared that he was risen from the dead. And we can see in John chapter 20 and verses 19 to 29, for example, that a week later the disciples were there in a house and Thomas was with them. And the doors were all locked and shut tight. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas then said, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen yet believe." And then you will remember that there were 14 groups of people that saw Jesus alive after he died. Amazing. We haven't got time to look at all 14 references now, but John 20, for example, said, "I have seen the Lord." And then 1 Corinthians 15:5. The Apostle Paul says he's passed on to us that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he appeared, it says, to 500 brothers and sisters at the same time. Amazing that Jesus died and has risen from the dead. Death could not keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Or to quote another hymn writer, "Crown him the Lord of life who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die." You remember that just before the Lord Jesus died, his disciples hadn't really grasped, they hadn't really comprehended the fact that he was going to come back to life again. It just didn't enter their minds. And so before his death, they had no idea. It just hadn't clicked. And then he was arrested. He was crucified. And you see the disciples, they were very timid and cowardly and full of fear. You can see that in Matthew 26. But something amazing happened after the resurrection. Because these same disciples who were timidly, cowardly, and full of fear, all of a sudden became bold and courageous when they knew that Jesus was alive. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that these were unschooled and ordinary men, and they were astonished, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. So from the grave and from his death, Jesus arose. And Jesus is alive today. Isn't that good news? He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. Jesus is risen from the dead. And in Acts chapter 1 and verses 1 to 9, we see him, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, going to the glory of heaven, going to heaven itself. So from the grave to the glory, that's the line of the Lord Jesus. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Risen, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming, a glorious day. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on the cross, suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing my sin. My Redeemer is he. But that same Jesus is risen from the dead. There are three main scriptures that give us the historical record of the ascension of the Lord Jesus. Mark Luke and Acts. Mark 16, verse 19 says, after the Lord Jesus has spoken these things, he was taken into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God. Luke 24 and verse 51, while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken into heaven. And then that verse we've read a couple of times already this morning, Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. After he'd said that, he was taken before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And all of those statements are crystal clear, aren't they? That our Savior was crucified, he died, he was buried, but arose from the dead and ascended back into heaven 40 days after his resurrection. We sometimes neglect the doctrine of, or overlook the doctrine of the ascension. We give far too little attention to that period in the life of the Lord Jesus. We think about his birth and his the temptation, his baptism, his transfiguration, and his miracles, and even his death. But sometimes we gloss over the fact that he arose and went back into heaven and is alive forevermore. All the earlier events in the life of the Lord Jesus would lose their importance without the fact that he has risen and ascended into heaven from the grave to the glory. The ascension communicates Christ's glorification of the Lord Jesus, that his work on earth is done. Done is the work that saves. Look at Mark 16 and verse 19 after this. After the Lord had been spoken to them, he was taken into heaven and has sat down at the right hand of God. He disappeared into a cloud and gave them the promise of his return. This ascended Lord Jesus is coming again. And look at verse 11, Acts chapter 1. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand looking at the sky? This same Jesus who you've seen taken into heaven will come back the same way as you've seen him go into heaven. In fact, every Christian, every born-again Christian, but that would be silly because you're not a Christian unless you're born again. But you know what I mean. Every real Christian, well, you know, that's a silly statement as well, isn't it? You're either a Christian or you're not. But you know what I mean. And every Christian is a living proof of the ascended Lord Jesus. We're saved by the ascended Lord Jesus. Look at Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives and ever lives to intercede for them. And we have the living proof that the Lord Jesus is alive and in heaven, because every Christian is here, a testimony to that. And we are kept by the ascended Lord. Some people say, well, if I became a Christian, I'd never be able to keep it up. You don't have to. Don't worry, because Jesus will do it. He will keep you from falling. Jude 24, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Isn't that exciting? We know what our lives are like here and now, but God is working on our lives, and one day he's going to present us before the Father without fault and with great joy. Wow. And then we have a living fellowship with the ascended Lord. 1 John 1, 3. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that we may have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son and with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can have fellowship, proving and demonstrating this exciting way that Jesus is alive in heaven. We have the guarantee of eternal life because of the ascended Lord Jesus. That's why the ascension is so important, isn't it? Look at John 14. Before long, the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live. You will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. How important this truth is, that the reality of the ascension is fundamental, isn't it? And all of these events in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus certainly point to the fact that he would die and would be raised and would go back into heaven. And we see from Ephesians 4 and verse 8 to 10. You see, the Lord Jesus, he proclaimed the fact that he would yet die, be buried, would come to life again and go back into heaven. He anticipated that truth in so many ways, certainly in prayer, in parables, and in prophecy. It's also been proclaimed throughout history that he would go back into heaven. His birth and his life and his death are recorded in history. And so is the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And each historical fact is necessary for the integrity of the whole Bible. It was proclaimed by the angels. You remember how the angels proclaimed the birth of the Lord Jesus and then the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. But also the ascension was confirmed by angels as well. Acts chapter 1. And after he was taken before their eyes, he gives that message about the Lord Jesus who is coming again. There are many, many reasons why we need to look at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Many reasons why our Lord Jesus, his ascension was absolutely necessary. First, it was necessary because his work on earth was done. His earthly work was finished. And I came, he said, to do my Father's will. Jesus came to do the Father's will. And Psalm 40 and verse 8, I desire to do your will. Your law is written on my heart. And this was to die upon Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus came to fulfill God's will by dying for your sin and mine. You remember John the Baptist there at the Jordan baptizing people. And the next day, John saw Jesus coming towards them. And he said, look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Or 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And he anticipated it, didn't he, in his prayers. And the Lord Jesus came and finished. The work of the Lord Jesus is actually finished, complete, 100%. How many of us, you know, can say, you know, we perhaps start a job of work and say, well, that's finished. Our youngest son, he's been working on his house for years, and every time you go, there's something different. Yesterday, I went and no bathroom. Well, they've got a bathroom, but not the one. They just took it out, so there, you know, stay. But he hasn't finished the kitchen, or the playroom, or the lounge, or the study, or you know, the other things. They haven't finished it. You can't say, oh, it's 100% finished. And we're all a bit like that, I suppose, aren't we? But not with the Lord Jesus. He could write over his life, 100% finished, done, complete. And then he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Hebrews 1 and verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So the ascension was absolutely necessary because his work on earth was finished. Secondly, it was essential because his heavenly work had not started. His earthly work was done, but now his heavenly work was just about to start. And it was necessary for him to ascend so that he might take up his new work in heaven, this priestly work And our great high priest, the Lord Jesus, stands in the presence of God as our advocate, as our mediator, as the only access we have to the Father. He intercedes for us. And because he is our living ascended Lord, he'll keep us from falling. And he is preparing a home in heaven for us. Did you get that? That's pretty exciting, isn't it? Jesus, the ascended Lord, who went from the grave to glory, is preparing a home in heaven for you and for me. Yes, at his ascension, the bridegroom went to prepare a place for his bride. And he's been engaged in that work of preparation for well over 2,000 years. Heaven is going to be a wonderful place. Jesus is preparing it for you and for me. And when Christ has gone into heaven, he's preparing a place for you. Because Christ ascended and went into heaven, you can go there as well. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. It was necessary for Jesus to go into the grave and go into the glory, to ascend into the heavens, because he could then send his Holy Spirit, thirdly. And what John said to John the Baptist was interesting, wasn't it? And Matthew 3 and verse 11, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me, one's coming who's more powerful than I. I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals, he said. But he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And this promise could only take place if the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. The Christian life is the life of the Lord Jesus in us by the power of his Holy Spirit. And it could only be possible because the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. We have that wonderful promise in John 14 and verse 12. Very truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me and will do the work that I have done, and it'll be even greater now because I've gone to my Father. The earthly body of the Lord Jesus was local. The mystical body, the church, is universal. So while the Lord Jesus was walking on earth, ministering and doing wonderful things, it was only in one place at one time. It was a localized body. But because he ascended into heaven, he's poured out the Holy Spirit upon his children and given gifts to his children. And now he is able to work through millions of Christians all over the world. And that's exciting, isn't it? He's able to work through us. And then finally, it was necessary for the Lord Jesus to ascend into heaven so that we can know his continual presence. Look at Matthew 18 and verse 20, where two or three are gathered together. I am there in the midst of them. Hebrews 13, and never will I leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence that the Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? This could only be possible if he ascended into heaven. And he's there, ascended, risen Lord Jesus. How wonderful that he is with me right here and right now. In my joy, in my sorrow, in my testing, and even in my departing. He said, if I go, I'll come back. He's gone. And we can be quite sure and quite confident of this, that he is coming again. The fact that Jesus came, went back into heaven, has many wonderful implications on here and now for each one of us. It gives us assurance. As our high priest, Jesus has sat down at the right hand of the Father, indicating that the work that he came to do was satisfactory, complete, done. It also gives us confidence that the enthroned King of kings and Lord of lords has given all power to rule And that power has also been given to us, his church. And nothing can stand in the way of God's purpose, God's power. And he will accomplish his will and his power. And sometimes, this is exciting, he sometimes does it through you and me. Gives us hope. When Jesus spoke to his disciples about his departing this earth, it gave them hope. It gave them joy. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and take you to be with myself, that where I am, you can be there also, John 14:3. And in that one verse, Jesus gives us today at least three reasons for hope. That he's preparing a place for us. He will come again and take us to be with himself in heaven. And he would take us, he, when he comes, to be with him. This is the destiny of all those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus. This is the destiny and the hope and the assurance and the confidence that all who have prayed and asked the Lord Jesus to come and take away their sin and live in their hearts will have. So we can see Jesus, his life from the grave to glory. That can be our experience as well, from the grave where we're going to be one day, then taken to the glory. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and pray.